Thank you, Brother Rayleigh and Miss Rayleigh. God bless you. Take your Bibles tonight, Psalm 23 and John chapter number 10. Psalm 23 and John chapter number 10. Now, Wednesday night's our Bible study type night, and we're going to kind of now go off of what our subject matter that we've been studying together as a church for about the last 8 weeks or so, the church in the last days, and kind of start a new study and go a different direction. And over the next several Wednesday nights, church, I want to speak to you on the subject of the Savior and His sheep. The Savior and His sheep. Are you there in Psalm 23? We're going to read this entire chapter together. You say, oh no, it's a long one, just six verses. Psalm 23, let's stand together if you would please. We're going to pause at each punctuation mark. And I want you to think about it. A lot of times we quote this, but we don't think about it. As we quote it, but I want you to think about it in light of the Savior and His sheep. Psalm 23, let's begin to read together in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many of you have probably learned that psalm in that passage since you've been in church? Okay? Yeah. You were probably, even in your kindergarten class, were taught to memorize Psalm 23. Now, a lot of times we memorized it, but we never thought about it. We never thought about the context of it and how it relates to the Lord and us. When He speaks of the Lord is my shepherd, David said, he's talking about the Lord. And when he says, I shall not want, he's talking about himself. And then as you look down, he's making a reference with a relationship between a shepherd and the sheep. In other words, God and us, the Savior and the sheep. And so we'll get back to that. We may make it back there tonight, but I wanted to get you thinking about the subject tonight. Now, John chapter 10, and beginning in verse number 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus speaking here says, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Now notice this. And he calleth his own sheep by name. How many of you believe God knows you by name? Oh, yeah. Yeah, He knows you personally. That's a reason in your prayer time, in your private time, devotion time, when God speaks, He's not calling, hey, you. He's calling you by name. And He says, and He calleth this sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when He putteth forth His sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Why? Because it's a voice of confidence. It's a voice of security. So they follow that. Look at verse 11. Jesus speaking says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Does it sound to you like there's an intimate relationship there between the shepherd and the sheep? And you know, God wants there to be that type of relationship between us and Him. So beginning tonight, church, I want to begin to preach to you on Wednesday nights about the Savior and His sheep. But what we need to do is we need to understand some of the characteristics first. If we're going to be able to embrace and understand from this day forward what the Lord teaches about this matter and this subject, we're going to need to learn some of the characteristics. That's what I want to take a look at for just a few moments tonight. Father, meet with us now. Thank you for the privilege of being in church, Holy Spirit of God. We ask that you do your work now in our hearts. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen, and you can be seated. Now, how many of you have ever wondered, if you've been in the Bible long enough, how many of you, like me, come on, help me out, how many of you wondered why Jesus compared us to sheep and not a camel? Or a pig? A horse? Why a sheep? Why are we compared to sheep? What is it? I mean, I like horses, I like camels, I like oxen, I like, how about a rooster? A goat? You know, out of all the barnyard animals, why sheep? I'll tell you why. Because nothing else depicts a believer today more than a sheep does. It is, if you could pick all the animals on planet Earth, the sheep depicts the most of how we live in our life. Now, we're going to learn this over the next several Wednesday nights, so that the next time you read your Bible and you see how Jesus makes reference to a sheep, we're going to learn some of the characteristics of sheep. We're going to learn some of these things. Hopefully, we'll get to that tonight. But many of you have thought like I did, why sheep? Why not something like a horse, you know, robust and fast and energetic? Why a sheep that's lethargic and that doesn't seem, you know, it's kind of like, wake up in there. Why that? Well, it's because that we can kind of acquaint our lives a little bit more to a sheep than a horse. Matter of fact, sheep are so used throughout the Scriptures that if you'll remember in John chapter 1, verse number 36, that John the Baptist even referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God. So it's a very, very important animal throughout the Bible. Now, we know that the reason that Jesus was referred to as the Lamb of God, because what were lambs raised to be? Sacrifices. That's the reason he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now listen, help me out. The thing about it is that you and I have to understand, the Scripture teaches us that we were saved to sacrifice. Is that not what Romans 1:12, verse number 1 says? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Listen, we were saved to sacrifice, to be a sacrifice for Him. And so even John the Baptist referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 53. Let me show you something here. Because all through Scripture, the people of God are referenced and paralleled with sheep. Look at this in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Okay, turn there if you would please for just a moment. And I want you to, many of you have memorized Isaiah 53. And so these verses will be very familiar to you. But I want you to look at, I want to call your attention to verse number 7. The Scripture speaking here says, "He was oppressed," speaking of Jesus, "and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a," there it is again, "a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Now, let me help you to understand something here. We'll cover this a little bit later. There's a reason that sheep don't open their mouth. There's a reason they don't make any noise. First of all, they don't bring attention to themselves, because if they bring attention to themselves, keep in mind now, sheep are very vulnerable creatures, right? So they don't cry out to bring attention to themselves. And neither did the Lord open his mouth. Listen, he said, "No man taketh my life, I give it freely." He said, "I don't want anybody to think that I am groaning in agony against what's going on." He said, "I came to die, to seek and to save that which is lost, and die for all mankind." And so Isaiah here shows us that in Scripture, that not only the Lord has been compared to a lamb for the sacrifice, but then when he went to the cross, he didn't open his mouth. And we know that to be a fact, that when he was crucified, he gave his life freely and willfully for us. You see, there Isaiah 53, the Lord is compared to a sacrifice, but he's also compared to us today, that depicts how that we should be living and how we should be practicing our Christian life as well. You see, the thing about it is, folks, as a believer, we shouldn't be complainers. We should be witnesses. We shouldn't complain that the Christian life is too hard and it's awful and I can't believe that I'm having to go through this. Listen, the Lord didn't open his mouth nor complain about the cross. So neither should we be complaining about the Christian life. Now, I want to make some comparisons, if I could, tonight in a few places. So I want you to go back, if you would, to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers 27, and then I want you to put a finger in Matthew 9 and verse 36. Numbers 27, and see if you recognize this verse here, and then Matthew 9 and verse number 36. Now I want you to notice here in Numbers chapter 27, Moses is speaking here. I want you to look at verse 15. Numbers 27, verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord, and notice this, be not as, does your Bible say sheep right there? So even Moses makes the comparison. Thousands of years prior to the ministry of Christ, even Moses makes the comparison of people to what? Sheep. He says that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep, notice this now, which have no, what does it say? All right, go to Matthew 9. Remember Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives, looking over Jerusalem? Here's what he says. But when he saw, that's Jesus, the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad. Look at this. As sheep having no shepherd. Let me ask you this. Did the nature of man change from Moses' day to Jesus' day? Nah. Same thing. Same. Listen, folks. Things have not changed. Man is just as depraved in that day as he is in this day. And so therefore the comparison of man and our lives to the life of an animal like the sheep is still intact. The sheep acted the same in Moses' day as they did in Jesus' day. And guess what? Man acts the same way in Moses' day as he did in Jesus' day. And by the way, as he does today. Now, take your Bible, go back now to Psalm 23 that we just read just a moment ago. And let's take a look at a couple of things here that David said about the Lord. Okay, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, thank God for that, right? Now, keep in mind now, listen to what he says. Because he is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means God's going to take care of me, right? Now, listen very carefully, church. Here's what you need to understand. We're going to get into this in just a second. It's probably all we're going to be able to cover tonight. But what you have to understand is God has a divine order in which things are to happen. Now, keep in mind that God is, Jesus even called himself the good shepherd, right? And yet here David said that the Lord was his shepherd. And he says, I don't have a concern. I don't have a need. God's going to take care of me. He said, I shall not want. Let me ask you this. Are sheep, do you think, are dependent upon something else? Can sheep, if let out, can sheep take care of themselves? No. They have to have care. So you know what he's making a reference? He said, listen, folks, you can't do this thing called the Christian life without help. You've got to have assistance. You've got to have help. He says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because he's going to, look at the next verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. You know something I noticed about sheep? In studying sheep, you know sheep will not lay down unless they feel secure. They'll remain on their feet. And sheep who do not feel secure become restless sheep. They don't get rest, and therefore they become exhausted. And then they get sick. Now what I'm saying is, it's the job of a church to make sure that it prepares such a pasture, which we'll look at later on, that the people, the sheep, come and they feel safe here. They feel that they can come to church and the preacher is not going to change the doctrine. Or he's not going to change the Bible. Or he's not going to flip a switch and change the music or this, that, and the other thing. They have to come and feel safe. And if they come and feel safe, you know what they'll do? They will flourish. And you know what? You can come to church and relax. Because sheep, listen to me, check me out, they will not lay down unless they feel safe. But notice, did you notice what David said? He maketh me to lie down in what kind of pastures? That means if they come and feel safe to lie down, guess what they got to have? Got to have food. Yeah. That means that when they come, you know what? They want something to eat. They want more than just a concert. They want more than just a theatrical presentation. What they want something to eat. Listen, nothing wrong with good music. Nothing wrong with theatrical presentations, as long as they're done the right way. But what I'm saying is, when the sheep come, they want something nourishing. Something that fills the spirit. And so when they come to church, they want to hear something from the Word of God. And David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." He said, "I can feel comfortable, but I also know I'm going to be fed." And notice this, what he says. "And he leadeth me beside the still waters." Now in our study here in just a moment, if we make it that far, about the characteristics of sheep, one of the things I learned is sheep are very fearful creatures. And a lot of times they won't drink from water that's moving swiftly. That doesn't mean it can't be moving at all. It just doesn't need to be moving swiftly because they're very fearful creatures. And so he said that the shepherd understands the sheep, right? So what he does, and he understands that sheep, when they come, if they're going to feel comfortable, if they're going to fellowship, if they're going to serve, they need to be in green pastures. They need to come somewhere they can feel safe, that they can eat, they can enjoy themselves, but they also have to understand, or the shepherd has to understand the sheep. And that is, they're not going to drink if things are moving too fast. Now, stop. Let's stop here and think about us. You know, people don't like change too much, do we? And so, you know what? That's the reason that doing some things that and how we operate ministry, that's the reason we don't just say, "Hey, we're changing this, and it's all changing this Sunday." You know what the sheep are going? Cannot compute. They're not. And so that's the reason that things that we do a little at a time. Little at a time. You see, that's the reason. The sound system. Little at a time. And then we're going to do some other things. Little at a time. And I think you're going to enjoy all of these things. But what I'm saying to you, simple as this, is with sheep, you got to move slow. You can't just take everything and throw it out there to them. So he says, "He maketh him to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Listen to verse 3. "He restoreth my soul." Now listen, that's like the shepherd when the sheep's over here trying to dig out. We used to have an old dog. Did I tell you that? We used to have an old Shar Pei. Now my kids named her Maggie. And so she was a Shar Pei, but she loved to try to dig out. And the thing about it is that dog would dig out, get the neighbors, and I'd go over there and get it, you know, and it just went on and on and on and on. And I just never could get through the dog. You stop digging under the fence. Now, listen to me. A shepherd in a situation like that when a sheep is trying to dig out, he's going to have to go over there and tap the sheep and say, or move the sheep away and fill the hole back in. Maybe even take his staff and tap it on the head or get its attention. You see, David said that a shepherd restoreth the soul. In other words, listen, folks, failure doesn't mean that it has to be fatal. Did you hear what I said? Failure doesn't make you failing doesn't make you a failure. And it doesn't have to be fatal. That's the reason that people are going to make mistakes, just like sheep do, right? Now, the thing about it is you have to deal with it a little bit more strongly if the sheep continues to do it over and over and over after you correct it. But if a sheep's over digging out, you can try to get its attention and get it going in the right direction. So, "He restoreth my soul." In other words, the shepherd provides assurance. He provides a place where the sheep can come and know, you know what, if I stumble or fall, the shepherd's going to be watching after me. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." In other words, he's going to not only tell me how to do it right, he's going to show me how to do it right. Look at verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." How many times you think wolves have gotten among the sheep and chased and scattered the flock? You think there's been a few shepherds watching over the flock that's had to run off a few wolves, coyotes? But you know, listen, did you notice David said here? He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," some of the darkest times of my life. I want you to notice this. He said, "I will fear no evil." Now, wait a minute, how are you going to get a sheep not to fear if he's walking through darkness? You know why? The presence of the shepherd. If he knows the shepherd is there, If he knows that the presence of the shepherd is there, then there is a sense of security. So he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because here's what he says, thank you, shepherd, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because you know what? From sometimes the rod and staff are needed to tap the sheep on the head, get its attention, to teach. Sometimes the rod and the staff's used to ward off wolves with. But the key is that the shepherd doesn't leave the sheep. Look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He said, you know what? The enemies are out there, right? But you know what the shepherd does? The shepherd cares for the sheep. He feeds the sheep. He makes sure that there's plenty of food, there's plenty of nourishment there for him in these present evil days. He says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You know what he's so excited about? Because he knows it doesn't matter what he does, the shepherd loves him. Doesn't matter what direction he goes, if he gets lost, the shepherd's coming after him. If he gets stuck in the mud, the shepherd's going to get him out. If he gets his head stuck through the fence and he can't get it back out, I saw that the other day. I was going down Collins right down here, and right there by that QT, right before you get to Highway 10, they've got those stables there. I saw a horse had his head stuck through the fence, and he couldn't get it back. And so I slowed down a little bit because I wanted a good laugh, because I wanted to see what he was going to do. Because the thing about it is he kept trying to pull it straight like this, and I'm thinking, look, nut, you got it through there like this, then back it out like that. And I sit there and watch that horse, and the horse was just pulling, jerking stuff. Listen, I thought, well, maybe we should be compared to a horse. But now, all I'm saying is that he says, I'm so excited that my head, he anointeth my head with oil. He makes me feel special. My cup runneth over with joy. I'm excited. And then he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know where that security, you know where he says I find that security? It's not going to be just eternal security in heaven. He said, I feel security when I go into the house of God. That's the reason he said in Psalm 122:1, listen, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because you know what he anticipated when he got there? He anticipated green pastures. You know what else he anticipated when he got there? He anticipated some still waters. When he got there, he anticipated some fellowship. You see, sheep like that atmosphere. Now, write these other verses down. You can look at them on your own. Psalm 78, verse 52, talks about how sheep need a guide. Psalm 79, verse 13, talks about how that sheep, and when they're shown affection, they return affection. They return in gratitude. How many of you remember the puppy? Okay, those of you that had a puppy, I talked to you in leadership meeting. Remember how you had to train the puppy from potting on the floor? And you remember until that puppy felt confident with you, the next time you said, Peanut, where are you? You know what the dog did? The dog didn't come and say, okay, it's time for my spanking. Where'd you have to go get him? He's under the couch somewhere, right? You see, but once the puppy grew and the puppy knew that you were doing it for his benefit and that you loved him, wasn't a problem anymore, was it? Matter of fact, next time when you come home, you say, come on, boy, come on. He jumped on. He loves you now, right? Now, he didn't love you when you were spanking him for potting on the floor, but he loves you now. See, what I'm saying is that, church, that sheep, he said, when they're shown gratitude, they ought to show love and respect and gratitude back. Psalm 79, 13. Psalm 100, verse 3. Remember that? We are the sheep of his pasture. And then you can go and read in Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 12, about how sheep need to be cared for and how they need attention. Now, here's what I want to do real quick, and we'll be done for tonight. I want to give you, just for a second, at the established order and that God has given us in Scripture here that for our success and for our benefit. All right, let me give them to you real quick. Let's go, if you would, I tell you what, go to Hebrews chapter 13. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. All right, Hebrews chapter 13. We just learned it in Psalm 23, but let's look at it in Hebrews 13 for just a moment here, and let me reemphasize what's given to us here in Hebrews 13. and verse number 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, underlined it, here it is, that great shepherd of the sheep. Now we've identified who the good shepherd is. The good shepherd is Jesus. The great, now he's referenced as the great shepherd here. David represented him as his shepherd. Now here it says that he's the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, so the first thing that we need to look at, the established order and the organization that God has structured here, is that over all is the great shepherd, the good shepherd. David called him his shepherd, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the overseer of everything. But listen now, though he's the overseer of everything, folks, I got some news for you. He's not going to come and preach to you on Sunday. Did you hear me? The Lord's not going to preach to you on Sunday. Say, yes, he is. Okay, then I'm going to get out of here, because if he's coming, I'm sitting out here. But he's not going to come to you in person and preach to you. So guess what he does? What he does is he calls what we know of today as an under-shepherd or a pastor, right? That he uses to communicate his desires and his will to the sheep. So he calls out and appoints a shepherd. Now listen, unfortunately, in our churches around the world today, we got too many self-appointed shepherds. Now let me say something to you. A self-appointed shepherd, let me tell you what Jesus called them. He didn't call them self-appointed shepherds. Here's what he called them, hirelings. And here's what he said a hireling will do. When the sheep are attacked, when the sheep are under stress, guess where he is? Nowhere to be found. That's a hireling. Jesus said that he was the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So that means the sheep need somebody to stand up for them. And that's where the shepherd, the under-shepherd, the pastor comes in. So too many self-appointed shepherds, they're just merely hirelings. They have no intentions of sacrificing for the sheep. Their intentions are selfish in motive, listen now, rather than divine in direction. You know what I believe? I believe without question that a God-called man, God will put in that man and in that shepherd the heart for the sheep. Why would a shepherd go into the shepherding business to take care of sheep if he didn't understand and have a love for the sheep? Because let me tell you something. Do you know sheep are high maintenance? Yeah, they are. We're going to learn that next week. We ain't got time to talk about it tonight. We'll learn it next week. And most of you out there are sitting out there thinking, boy, are you hit that one on the head. He or she in my family is high maintenance. Well, I think we all need to look in the mirror, because I think God's sitting in heaven thinking, good grief, you're all high maintenance. Now, then you have, okay, remember we had the great shepherd. Who is that? That's Christ. Then he appoints or calls an under-shepherd or a pastor to oversee the flock of God. Now, that leaves us now the sheep. And guess who that is? That's us, right? That's those who come to church. That's those who are placed under the care of the shepherd. Listen, sheep are led of God to a specific flock under the care of a specific shepherd. Am I right? Yeah. Yeah. Sheep are placed by God. That's the reason when God sends people to Trinity Baptist Church and they believe it's the will of God for them to be a member of this flock, they come and they put themselves in this flock under the care of this shepherd. That's what they do. And the thing about it is that sheep are needy animals. Listen to this. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, everybody looking up here? When the shepherd stops following the great shepherd, stop following the shepherd. Okay, do you hear what I said? When the shepherd, the under-shepherd, stops following the great shepherd, then sheep, scatter. Go find a shepherd that you can follow. Now listen, what I'm saying to you is this. God puts a shepherd, a pastor over a flock to care for them. And Paul was telling the Corinthian church, follow me, the under-shepherd, as I follow the great shepherd. He says, because if I'm following the great shepherd, and I'm getting food, and I'm getting stuff from him, I'm going to pass it on to you. Now, that leads me to the last thing. Okay, we talked about the great shepherd, that's the Lord. We talked about the shepherd, or the pastor, the under-shepherd. We talked about the sheep, that's the flock, that's those who call themselves a member of the church. And then, did you notice that David covered here when he said, he maketh me to lie down in green? And here's the last thing I want to cover tonight, the pasture. You know that's very, very important to sheep. Do you hear what I said? The pasture is very, very important to the sheep. You see, the pasture is the place of dwelling for the sheep. You see, it's the place that they walk. It's the place that they live every day. It's where they eat. It's where they drink. It's where they rest. It's got to be a safe haven for them. So the pasture has to be a place when the sheep come in that they know that the shepherd has prepared it. Now, I'm not a physical shepherd of sheep, but I still will say this. I found out that, you know, it's the job of the shepherd. We'll talk about this a little bit more next week. To make sure that the sheep are rotated from pasture to pasture. Because one of the things that grows healthy sheep is rotating the pastures. Because you know what sheep do? They'll eat it down to the ground. And then, listen, here's what we'll learn next week. And then here's what happens. If the pasture don't move the sheep and keep things fresh and keep food company, what'll happen is the sheep will turn on each other and begin to fight each other for little patches of grass. That's the reason you have to keep them rotated. You have to keep them moving. You see, it's important that we understand there's a great shepherd, there's an under-shepherd, there's sheep, but guess where the pasture is? You're sitting in it. This is the pasture. Or you can call it the sheep pen. But you know what, folks? This is where we come. This is where we gather. This is the pasture. And you know what? When you come to church, what do you want? You want something to eat, don't you? You want something to drink. And you know what? You don't want me to have you stand up all the time, do you? You say, no, preacher, I kind of like these people. I want to sit down. I want to rest and take. You know what? You can. Sheep feel comfortable if they feel secure. But you go check me out. Go Google it. And you'll find out that way too many of God's people are exhausted. You know why? Because they're insecure. They come to church, they have no idea what can we expect today? What's going to happen today? Listen, you know what? I kind of like the atmosphere when I come to church. I know what's going to happen. And I know that, you know what? The same Bible the preacher preached from Sunday morning, he'll preach again from Sunday night and Wednesday night and the next Sunday morning and the next Sunday night, and we're not changing? That when we come, we're going to have Holy Ghost-filled music that's going to glorify God and not man? And listen, we're going to come and experience worship. You know, if sheep feel comfortable, and they know that there's some consistency in the pasture secure, and that if wolves come in, the shepherd's going to get his rod out, and he's going to get after some wolves. If the sheep think, man, you know what, boy, don't get that shepherd stirred up. But you know, that's the way it ought to be. That's the reason, folks. What would you think if we had a heretic come to this church and start spreading false doctrine and I did nothing about it? You'd think, man, that shepherd stinks. Now, you know what you'd want me to do? You'd want me to confront them, wouldn't you? And you know what? Someday that may have to happen. But that's the job of the shepherd. The job of the sheep is to come, every time they come to church, and say, you know what? Ah, what a place of security. I hope that you'll read ahead. Go think through Psalm 23 again, John chapter 10, the verses that we read. Next week we'll look at some characteristics of the sheep, the shepherd, and the characteristics of the pastor. I want you to bow your head for a moment tonight. Thank you for being here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And before we pray, I wonder how many tonight can say, preacher, I'm a born-again believer. I'm saved. No question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. That's me. That's me, preacher. All right. God bless you.